And welcome back to the SEC on CBS podcast here on CBS Sports. I am your host, Chip Patterson. Tom Fornelli, Robbie Calland, myself, all getting together for some picks. Make sure that you are subscribed to the SEC on CBS podcast on iTunes, on TuneIn, on Stitcher, because that is how you get these episodes first, and it will also get you the top 25 picks. Remember, these are SEC picks. Next episode, Friday's episode, will be on the top 25. Enjoy a picks cast. It's the SEC on CBS podcast. It's the end of the week. It is time to get your stone cold locks, your against the spread picks for week 12. We begin in the SEC with the SEC edition. Joining me to do this incredible task, Tom Fornelli, Robbie Calland. Gentlemen, are you ready for the annual FCS week?
Best week of the season because we get just wild spreads.
Everything else just builds up to this moment.
This is what we're all about. Rivalry week's actually the on the backside of the hill. This is the pinnacle.
This is the living the life on that pinnacle. As former Auburn quarterback Cam Newton likes to say from time to time. Guys, we are going to start with the SEC on CBS game of the week. Florida LSU coming up in a little bit. Certainly the game with a lot of attention in terms of the SEC East race. But Tennessee still has two games left. Now, Florida's very banged up. Tennessee is feeling rejuvenated and refreshed. Cam Sutton back, Alvin Kamara back. They did get in a little bit of a, you know, give 20 point fourth quarter points up kind of game with Kentucky. So, Tom, going to you first. Tennessee favored by 16 or 13.5. This line's moved around a whole bunch, but a lot of juice behind the Vols. What kind of chance do you give Missouri to either get a backdoor cover, keep this game close, or even pull off an upset against a Tennessee team that has not done great shouldering expectations this season?
Not a great chance, although, I mean, I'm taking Missouri to cover, but simply because it goes more in line with my other pick for this game, which is the under.
Under, baby.
Yeah, Missouri and Tennessee, I made my under of the week in pick six.
Because 67!
It was only at 66.5 when I did it, but yeah, now it's up to 67, and frankly, any game involving Missouri should not have a total approaching 70 points, period.
That's correct. So, we cashed last week on that Vandy, Missouri under.
I think this is going to be a lower scoring game. So because of that, I'm more inclined to take the points with Missouri. Although on the spread, I'm really just kind of it's a coin flip to me on the spread. I think the under is the smarter play.
I think that we have a high likelihood that Drew Locke will have an opportunity to kick in this back door, Robbie. I mean, Missouri moves the ball with pace. They're not efficient. They are not efficient. But
no, they're not. But they will every once in a while, once out of every like seven drives, they get a lot of drives, and one in every like six produces points. So you're just trying to figure out if you can take one of those and turn it into a turnover or something. My thought here is in its four games against, I would say, the best competition. In the last six, so excluding Vanderbilt, as far as offense goes, excluding Vanderbilt, excluding South Carolina, they've given up an average of 350 yards per game on the ground, and that's to like Middle Tennessee State, Florida, LSU, and somebody else, I think. It's not great.
Nope.
Alvin Kamara's back. He had 10 for 128 last week as he got worked back in against Kentucky.
I mean, just getting the legs loose, you know?
Just got the legs loose. John Kelly looks good, like in a backup role.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, he's kind of stuff. He's honestly been more efficient running football than Jalen Hurd was early in the season. He gives him a little different dynamic. Hurd was such just a bruiser, and with this offensive line, which does not create a whole lot in the very middle, which is where Jalen was at his best, which is like between the tackles. They do pretty good on the outsides, and they can get some seals. Those tackles have been better run blocking. But inside, they don't create huge gaps, which is what Jalen needs to get big yards. Kelly does a better job on the edges, kind of change of pace, although both of them kind of are scatty. I just think between those two backs and Josh Dobbs, I think you see almost 50 carries, and I think that limits Missouri's offensive possessions, which, like we said, they're not super efficient. So when you limit their possessions, you limit their scoring opportunities, which is another reason I like that under, like Tom said. I think we see Tennessee run the dang ball an awful lot and just pull away steadily. But I do agree the concern is the backdoor. I think you're going to go into the fourth quarter in that 17-20 range for the Vols. You're going to be looking at a nice, comfortable win. And by the second half, by that fourth quarter, they're going to know whether Florida's won or lost.
Yeah, I was going to say there's going to be some iPhones checked at halftime. And
halftime, they will know, because that 1 p.m. kick by the 3:30 halftime, especially our lovely CBS game, it's usually a 2-hour half. A couple of TV timeouts in there. We'll definitely know the Florida score. And Vols will know whether they need to really keep trying or not in the second half. So that could make things interesting. If Florida wins, it will be real interesting to see how much fire the Vols come out with for a second half against Missouri.
I think that there is because it's important to remember, because I pulled out the iPhone joke, the halftime iPhone joke on College Football Rundown this week and got called out for it. I was disrespecting Vandy. We got to remember, Tennessee's job is not done with a Florida loss and a win against Missouri.
That's correct.
Man.
That's correct.
The Vanderbilt Commodores.
Listen.
Robbie Callen's Vanderbilt Commodores.
Listen.
He's going to be out there running and making like 37 tackles.
I think I called in the SEC picks column this week, I think I called him a noted heat-seeking linebacker attacking Shea Patterson in the open field. But we will get to that game in a little bit. Florida and LSU. LSU, 13.5-point favorites. The way that we picked this game, Florida's missing 9 starters. Like Florida
is that all?
So banged up. That's it.
Okay, can we talk about like the curse of being first in the SEC East? Like Tennessee was first, and we're down like 8 starters. They start getting healthy as soon as Florida takes over. Florida loses 8 starters in 2 games. The SEC East is cursed. It's also bad, but it's cursed.
So LSU needs to be aware not only of the potential that a Siante Lewis or Antonio Callaway is like the only hope of offense, but they also need to be aware and careful to not catch that injury bug. What you're saying.
You don't want to get too close.
Yeah, you might want to keep your distance here.
Look, this game just I've talked about this a lot. Florida cannot run the football against good defenses. They can't. They ran it on South Carolina a little bit. South Carolina is an average at best when trying really hard defense.
That was a funny joke.
I think they're like 80th in the country in the run defense or something like that. So they're just below average. Florida can't run the football. LSU stops the run, so they're not going to run it. And then you're half price apps in the backfield for Arden Key, Austin Appleby. It's going to be a rough day in the neighborhood, I think.
Not a good day. Tom?
I know Arden Key's a little banged up, but I think he's supposed to play. I think he was limited in practice this week.
Tom?
Sorry.
I don't see how Florida scores enough points to cover this. It's all everything. They have trouble running the ball. They really have trouble running a ball against good defenses. Mm-hmm. And for as good as Florida's defense is, it's going to break when its offense continually goes 3 and out.
And that's the problem. And you're so weak as far as depth.
Yeah.
Especially at linebacker when you got to play Leonard Fournette. Like you were out 2 of your top guys, and it doesn't seem to bode well.
Mm-hmm. LSU might just win this game like 20-3.
Exactly.
I had 31-10 as my thought, with the idea that like at some point Florida's defense is just going to get tired of trying to tackle not only Leonard Fournette, but our boy, Gucci Mane, Darius Geis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what happened against Arkansas. Florida's defense just couldn't keep doing it, you know? And look, Raleigh Williams, Derek Whaley ran it all over them.
Mm-hmm.
Screens. Look for LSU to just hammer them with screens, especially with those linebackers, young linebackers.
Just getting caught too far, getting caught too far upfield.
Yeah, I mean that's what Arkansas did. Whaley hit a couple screens down the sideline for like 30 plus. I expect Geist to have like 70 yards receiving on like three screen catches.
Ooh, I'm so sorry, Florida linebackers. You're about to get your hand caught in the cookie jar.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple because you know they're going to be trying to sledgehammer those holes because you know you got to meet LSU's fullback. You got to meet him hard in the hole, or else he's going to meet you. and so you're kind of coming up on those, sucking up little play action screen over to. I think we're gonna see this one get a little ugly. I don't see where Florida scores unless LSU decides for some reason they need to throw the ball a lot and there's a pick six or two in this.
Yeah, I agree.
That's the only way Florida's offense. That's the only way Florida scores.
Tom, Ole Miss going in to play Vanderbilt. Shea Patterson just whoosh, lit that red shirt on fire. He is in there. He set Ole Miss single-game freshman records for both offense and passing offense. It was something that made a lot of Rebels fans go, yay! But as we look ahead to this Vanderbilt game, I am very scared about Cousin Shea. No official relation. I think that if he has to be the primary running threat for Ole Miss, this is going to be a very painful, painful week after the game, thanks to Zach Cunningham and this Vanderbilt defense. The spread's at 10. How would you pick this game, Tom?
I would take Vanderbilt. Shea Patterson looks pretty good. He looked really good in that comeback last week, but, you know, true freshman quarterback, first start on the road like this against a very salty Vanderbilt defense. I'll take the 10 points. This is kind of like the Missouri-Tennessee game. I lean more towards the under, but as far as the spread's concerned, I will take Vandy in the 10 to cover against Ole Miss at home.
Oh, what about you, Robbie?
You know where my allegiance always lies.
Always with the Doors.
Always with the Doors, even though they let me down last week, but the defense still got that under for me. That was a weird game. I think it was 17 points real fast for Mizzou. And look, this is a team, Vanderbilt, if they fall behind big, they are not built to exactly get it back. They are built for low-scoring, muck-it-up football, which is what they did against Auburn. That's why they kept it close with the Tigers. And I expect that to be a similar formula against Ole Miss. The one thing they got to protect against is the deep passing game. That's kind of where Locke popped them a couple times. Against Missouri, they need to tighten up in that back end. Safeties need to be a little better over the top, especially against Patterson, because you know that's what he can do. And I think that's what Ole Miss will try to do early, is try to get him one or two of those shot plays just to get him feeling good about himself. Because if you complete a 50-yard touchdown pass,
you feel real good.
All of a sudden, those windows feel a little less tight in the intermediate, because you start feeling yourself a little bit. So I think that's what they try to do. As long as Vandy can avoid the early big deficit, 10 points feels very coverable.
Yeah,
yeah, but you know what?
What?
With young quarterbacks, that could backfire. If you hit that 50-yarder soon, you think you can make every throw.
That's true. That's also true. So it'll be interesting to see how Ole Miss handles it. I think they're at the point where they need one more win to get bowl eligible. We talked about this last week when we were discussing whether they should or should not burn the red shirt. One more win to get bowl eligible. You get people excited about Shea Patterson going forward.
15 extra practices.
Yeah, whether you got the talent or not around him for next year, that's a different question, especially on the defensive side of football.
Hey, man. Hey, speaking of the defensive side of the ball before we move on from this game, good note, particularly if you're agreeing with us who like Vanderbilt here. Ole Miss, not good against the run. And Vanderbilt's got one thing on offense that it feels real comfortable doing, and it's running for 3 to 4 yards a carry with Ralph Webb.
Oh, God, the Ralph Webb special.
What do you say, Tom?
2 to 6 yards every time.
Ole Miss isn't like Arkansas levels bad against the run, but it's not very good against the run.
Bad. Well, all right, so Arkansas going in to Starkville. Great segue, Tom. Going up,
Vegas.
I mean, he's just a pro.
He is a pro.
This ain't my first rodeo.
Oh, I was trying to hit it. Hold on. Let me try to hit it again.
I've taken improv.
Yes.
Hit the drop.
The hottest drop out here in these podcast streets is on the SEC on CBS podcast.
I can't wait till that takes over all the clubs. All the kids waiting for the drop. There it is.
Arkansas, Mississippi State. Mississippi State favored in this game. Now they got,
what are we doing?
They got blasted and blasted by Alabama. Nicky Fitz got lit up. He had to spend a lot of time in the cold tub, as everybody noted last Saturday. But dog, I mean,
what are we doing?
Right? This is a very, very confusing for an Arkansas team that it looked great against Florida only 2 weeks ago. To imagine that they would be underdogs to Starkville, the line stinks.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about this. Arkansas has lost four games. Its four losses have been all like not even close. 19 was the closest. That was Alabama. However, they've been two very good football teams. Texas A&M, early season Texas A&M, really good football team. Alabama, the best football team. Auburn in the middle of its run, good football team.
Good
LSU,
Auburn.
Current LSU, very good football team. Against everybody else, the Floridas of the world, the Ole Misses of the world, TCU, they win in close games, but they win, and they play well. So Mississippi State is not on the level of even Ole Miss, in my estimation. I know they've gotten better. I know Nick Fitzgerald is probably going to be able to run the football in Arkansas. I understand that, but Mississippi State is not an especially good defense. They did pretty well against Texas A&M with a backup quarterback in there and an offense that is kind of all over the place. They still don't know what they're doing somehow. This happens every year to Texas A&M. They get deep in the season and all of a sudden forget what they're supposed to do. I don't understand this line. I'm all over the Razorbacks. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this stinks for a reason. But hogs.
Tom, one of the reasons that I was thinking that Arkansas might be an underdog in this spot is because of series history. Something that does come into play, particularly with division rivals and coaching staffs that know each other as well as these do. Mississippi State's won four straight in this series, but even with that, I'm with Robbie. I'm taking Arkansas. But I'm very curious to see if perhaps what we see plays out is some sort of coaching advantage that Dan Mullen might have on Bielema right now.
Well, remember who the quarterback was for 4 years in Mississippi State.
It wasn't all those 4 years, but yeah, I hear you.
Three years.
Yeah.
Certainly.
I'm taking Mississippi State.
Ooh.
I know why the spread is the way it is. If you look a little closer, in six conference games, Arkansas is allowing 7.7 yards per carry. Not yards per pass. Yards per carry.
That's a lot.
He's allowed 22 rushing touchdowns in six games. On offense, Arkansas is only averaging about 3.7 yards per carry against SEC teams in the run game. Arkansas can't run the ball. It can't stop the run. Mississippi State is not a great team, but it is a middle of the road average SEC team, both in its run offense and in its run defense. So the reason this line is the way it is because Vegas does not see Arkansas being able to move the ball very well, and it's on the road at Mississippi State. So therefore, you have to think just typically lines, you know, home favorite on an even field is typically going to be about 3, you know, points favorite. So old Mississippi State's a 2.5 point favorite at this point simply because of the things you mentioned. Arkansas is the better team, so they're going to give it some of the points. It's just I don't trust Arkansas's run defense to be able to stop Nick Fitzgerald. And I think because of that, the Bulldogs are going to win this game and cover. Now, they might, you know, they might not actually cover, but I think Mississippi State's going to win.
Wow.
I just don't trust them. I don't know. I also have concerns about the Bama hangover.
The body blow theory.
Bama, yeah, they got beat up pretty good. I don't know.
Fascinating.
It'll be interesting to see.
All right. Is Georgia going to lose in the black jerseys to Louisiana Lafayette?
No.
Okay. Yes. No, they're not.
They're not going to lose.
But they are not going to come.
Might be sneaky close.
Are they wearing black?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that like their way of trying to convince fans to come to this game?
I think that's correct. I think Kirby might have promised somebody that they could wear the black jerseys, and obviously because the season kind of went to the garbage can for a little bit until they beat Auburn, they didn't break them out, and now
they introduced them like Croots last year.
Yeah, and so now they're like, "Hey, you promised us you could wear the black jerseys," and Kirby's like,
"So what you're saying?
Oh, Raging Cajuns."
Georgia waited till after the SEC schedule was over to have its funeral game.
Ooh. I feel like the funeral game was the Florida game.
We come here today to bury the Bulldogs.
Hey, they're going to a bowl game.
They are.
Cashman and Shreveport.
They're like one of like two teams that have been eliminated from the SEC. So.
Whatever, yes. Man. 4-4 is so much better than 3-5 for Kirby. I mean, that's just going to get him. Better. That 4-4 versus 3-5 is like a solid 3 more fist bumps at local country clubs per week when he's playing, putting in the golf rounds.
At the ACC.
At the Athens Country Club.
Athens Country Club, which is a dynamite place, by the way.
Slight change of subject. Mark Richter goes 4-4 in the SEC and he's fired.
That's correct.
Kirby Smart takes over the same exact team, goes 4-4 in the SEC, and that's a good thing.
Now we're getting doubt. Absolutely. Because that's how coaching changes work, Tom.
Maybe you shouldn't have fired Mark Richt. Maybe he wasn't the problem. Maybe. I don't know.
All right, one last one to send you off. Are we taking the Roadrunners plus 27.5 against Texas A&M?
I don't have any problem with you doing that at all. I took Texas A&M, but I won't be surprised at all if the Roadrunners cover this just because Texas A&M doesn't give a damn about this game, and they've just been kind of beat up the last few weeks. So
yeah, this is one of those that feel like if there's ever a time for them to get feisty and try to have a get-right game, this is it. But I don't know if that's in their DNA down there in College Station, have the get-right game.
Yeah.
They just tend to kind of coast it in once the wheels come off. They don't try to pull the emergency brake and get it right.
No, they
just kind of let it roll off the hill.
It's the equivalent of when you see something about to fall when you're laying on the couch and you're just not going to get up to catch it. You just see it. You're like, oh,
whatever.
That's not really that fragile.
So far away.
Texas A&M has not covered a single spread since September 24th.
Jesus.
And I'm taking the Roadrunners because I think all Kevin Sumlin wants to do is just get out of this game a crisp, injury-free game.
You need to speak with editorial again.
Oh, really?
You're on the Aggies on the page, sir. This is a weekly thing. This is fun. I always like to enjoy which game Chip has wrong on his.
Well, I mean, if we can peel the curtain back, it's a lot of my fault as well as the editors, because when we're discussing the SEC games, I've got my picks column pulled up when I've had to back my opinions up with hashtag facts as opposed to just
right.
Throwing
I need these back by the end of Tuesday.
As opposed to just throwing logos at our editors.
I like doing that though.
Yeah.
And then like I like trying to talk myself into the pick later when I've looked at the facts that disagree with my pick. And then I'm just like, nah, facts don't matter.
Then it's just like that's just a gut feel.
Well, that's
gotta
what
go with the gut.
No, my thing is always like I'll look at it and I'll be like, man, the sharps are on the other side, and then I tell myself sharps are wrong 40% of the time.
Well, I'm kind of having that feeling.
That's my quote. Whenever I'm against the sharps, I'm like, sharps are wrong 40% of the time.
And then you're feeling great every time you're with the sharps. Obviously.
Absolutely. They're right 60% of the time.
I feel that way about, we are recording right now, Thursday afternoon, per usual, Louisville and Houston tonight. On the site, I've got the Cards.
Yeah.
I don't think the Cards are going to cover. At this point, I'd rather live with the duality of believing that Houston will cover and also picking against it on the site. Everybody wins.
Yeah. Oh, you can't lose.
That line's creeped up to 16, by the way. So
ooh.
There are a lot of people that don't believe Houston's going to cover, apparently.
Like, this is one of those, yeah, I don't know. It just feels like this is the Super Bowl for Houston this year.
No doubt.
I'm just going to tune in and try to enjoy it.
The 13th.
I mean, after I went 7-14 in the expert picks last week, and now I have the same record as Ben, I'm not really going to worry about my picks anymore because I'm dead already.
I mean, you're only 5 games back of the DODD.
Yeah, but I'm 101 and 106, man. Just
yeah, man.
You're
beating Palm.
Suck it, Palm.
it all goes down on the line, and the top 25 picks against the spread, which, as you can tell, are nothing but stone cold locks. They're coming up right here on the other side. So make sure that you stick around and make sure that you're subscribed to the SEC on CBS podcast. Tom, Robbie, thank you so much, gents.
Yep.
I've taken improv.